you're glad you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to be saved this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of God on New Year's Day. Amen. What a place to start the new year off. And I'm thankful for all the Lord's done in my life in this past year and all that He's done through the year, and looking forward to the next year and what He has in store. I want to thank Brother Jason for the opportunity to be here this morning. From what I understand, they're traveling, seeing family and things for the holidays, so you be in prayer for them. But I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and don't take it lightly one bit, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. As we're in the times of the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and things, I've often thought about the thought of leftovers. We have all these big meals, and we get together and cook all these great big entrees and just have good time with family and food and fellowship. And then I think about the leftovers, how there's always usually leftovers, and who gets to take those home and who gets to eat on those for a few days. And I think about how last Sunday was Christmas morning, and I think about the leftovers of the book of Luke. You know, usually we just jump right into the second chapter of Luke. But the Lord's had me in Luke chapter number 1. And that's where we're going to be this morning. If you would turn to Luke chapter number 1. And there's a very fascinating story that the Lord has for us in the Word of God here in Luke chapter number 1. While you're turning, thank you, choir, for the great singing this morning. And thank you for being here in the house of God. And the Lord sees your faithfulness. And Luke chapter number 1, and is where we'll be this morning. And kind of looking throughout the whole chapter, but if you're physically able, I'll invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God in Luke chapter number 1, and I will let everybody get there. Once again, thankful for this opportunity that the Lord has opened up for us. Luke chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 5. It says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient of the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Lord, I thank you and praise you once again for your goodness and mercy in my life. God, thank you for the opportunity this morning. God, now I pray that you'd bless the reading of the Scripture, and God, that you'd illuminate them in our minds and our hearts, and God, help us to get the message that you have for us in your Word, and God, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory, for you're worthy of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, we see here in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, we see the priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. Now, we notice that it says they live blameless. They live for God. They strive to live right and live for the glory of the Lord. And so all these years they've been living for God, but there's one thing throughout their life that perhaps has been a thorn in their side. Notice in verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And so, no doubt, for years they've been praying for a child. They've been longing to have a child. But notice that they served God even in the barren times. Even when they had not a child, they praised God in the process of it all. And so notice as we go down that Elizabeth and Zacharias have been living blameless and living for God and sacrificing for God, and they would love to have a child, but they served God even in the barren times. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, if you'll read in 1 Chronicles chapter number 24, you'll see the stage being set for this. But the priests were divided into 24 courses. Verse 9, it says his lot. Now, priests only serve 2 weeks out of the year. And those on duty drew lots to see which ministries that they would perform. And Zacharias was chosen to offer incense in the holy place. Now, there's something different about the lot that Zacharias drew this time. Now, no doubt it mentions that they're well stricken in years, so Zacharias has probably been a priest for quite some time now. And what he's been doing, he's been serving the Lord, but you'll notice that when he drew the lot to offer incense in the holy place, this was a high honor that was permitted to a priest only once in a lifetime. So you could draw this lot as a priest only one time to perform this duty, this ministration, to offer incense in the holy place. And he's well stricken in years. He's been doing this a long time, and he's been striving for this a long time. And now he's at a place he finally gets to do this. He has a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so here he's taking this opportunity. He's offering incense. Now continue reading in verse number 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. Now notice it's when Zacharias is in the busy times. He's in the middle of performing his ministration. And now there's an angel standing before him, and he's fearful. He's not sure what's going on. And oftentimes we'll find that it's when we're doing our daily duties and doing our normal things when God gets in and starts moving. And we often wonder why. But we also wonder if the car cannot begin moving. You can have the steering wheel in front of you and all the instruments around you, but you cannot get anywhere till the engine is started. And once we get moving, God will start directing our path and directing our life of where we need to go for God. And so here he is, and he's performing his duty, his ministration, and he is serving the Lord. And so now the angel has stood before him. Again, read verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I got to studying and got to looking into the priest, Zacharias and Elizabeth and John and all these things, and I got to looking in the name Zacharias. And the Hebrew meaning, the meaning of Zacharias' name was Jehovah has remembered. In other words, God has remembered. And so I think about how all these times that Zacharias has been praying to God, he's been serving faithfully. Him and his wife Elizabeth have served God faithfully, and they've been praying. And no doubt there's been many tears and many times where they thought about how they would love to have a child and they have not been able to. But God has remembered their prayer, and he has heard their prayer. Jehovah has remembered. And so he said, For thy prayer is heard. And that makes me think of Psalm 37, verse number 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I may be young, I'm not very old myself, but all through my life, I've seen God bring me through trial and storm and trouble, and I can truly say that I've never been forsaken by God. I've been forsaken by man, by people. I've been hurt by man and people, but God has never once let me down. He's been there for me every step of the way, and God has been faithful. And Jehovah has remembered me. He has not forgotten me. I think of Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them from all their troubles. You understand, that means we can always go to God, we can pray to God, and we're made righteous because of God. But be careful, too many of us are self-righteous, and there's a big difference between self-righteous and Christ-righteous. When you're righteous by God and he's cleansed you from your sin, we are made righteous. And so that means us, when the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them from all their troubles. He's faithful in times of trouble, and he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. God always remembers. You say, well, what about our sins that he saved us from? He remembers to forget those sins. He remembers that his blood washed our sins. He remembers to forget. Amen. In verse number 18, it says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Notice he says, well stricken in years. He begins to question and wonder how. He's been praying all this time that he's lost sight of the fact that God will do it. He's perhaps forgot the story of Abraham and Sarah and how God blessed her womb and opened up her barren womb and gave them a child. And now he's thinking, how can this be? We prayed when we were young. Why didn't we have one when we were young? Lord, we're stricken in years. Lord, she's barren. How could this be? And now that Gabriel has told him from the Lord, sent this message that God is going to give them a child, now he's starting to doubt. Now he's starting to second guess. Might I say that this morning, you can limit a limitless God. You want to know how you can limit a limitless God? It's by limiting your faith in what he can do in your life. Amen. Limiting what you truly believe God will do in your life. You say God is limitless, and he sure is. But we can limit him in our life by limiting our faith and what we allow him to do in our life. We have to believe and trust in God and know that he knows what he is doing. And so Zacharias has a lapse of faith, which of course is unbelief. And God does not accept unbelief. That's relatable in our lives. I find myself many times when I'm praying for something and God will answer it, but it's in a different way than I expected, I'll find myself in unbelief. And I have to get that right and see and know that I'll limit a God if I'm not careful in what he does in my life. Begin reading verse number 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now faith is blessed, but no matter how close you might be to God, unbelief is still judged. It's always judged. And we see that he says it'll be fulfilled in their season. Notice really the first sin that Zacharias did in unbelief was Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? In other words, Lord, when is this going to take place? When is this going to happen? Lord, of all times. But notice the angel says in their season. It says, which shall be fulfilled in their season. There is a season for everything. We don't always understand that, and we don't always understand the timing that God has, but he is the author of time. He is the author of it all, and he takes care of it. And he has a season for everything. And so we see that he's judged because of this, and now that he has had a lapse of faith and had unbelief in his heart, now he is crippled. Now he's made dumb. He cannot speak. He cannot communicate. And verse number 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Zacharias was a long-winded preacher. And so now the people are, they're marveling that he's still in the temple. They're thinking, what's going on? Wendy's is closed. McDonald's is closed. We'll be doing good to make it to Applebee's. And now they're thinking, they're marveling at the fact that he's been in the temple for so long. And so now, verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, we see that Zacharias and Elizabeth have conceived now. So God has already been working in their lives. And so now we see that truly God remembers. And the whole definition of Zacharias' name is Jehovah has remembered. And so now we see that because of his unbelief, Zacharias cannot speak and he cannot communicate. And he is crippled in a sense and he cannot communicate. But God is answering their prayer and they will be fulfilled in their season. Now, skip down with me to verse number 34. Now, before we read verse 34, this is familiar. Gabriel, the angel, has spoken to Mary and said she's going to have a son. And she said, how can this be? I know not a man. And God is explaining this to her through the angel. Now, read in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's take a pause there, verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This is the picture of the whole Bible. We see through so many stories, whether it's through Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and offering him up and God being giving, providing the lamb and God providing that ram for the offering. We see that God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And so we see now that Sarah has communed with Elizabeth, and she's told her the salutation that she's going to have a child, but the child is going to be the Son of God, and how they're really going to be blood related. And then really we see the first act of Jesus on this earth, and he's still in the womb. Notice that when the presence of Jesus in the womb was spoken of, the babe John leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And there was that excitement that the Son of God was on his way and that the Messiah was yet to come. And so I think about Elizabeth. And so how we read through all this, verse 36 again, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now we looked at the name Zacharias that meant Jehovah has remembered. Then I looked into the name Elizabeth. And the Hebrew definition of her name means God is my oath. Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron that you'll see in verse number 5. She's of the daughters of Aaron. Now Aaron was a priest himself. Aaron being the brother to Moses. And so Aaron was a priest. What does it mean that Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron? The story of Elizabeth's life, her allegiance to God. An oath comes with trust, loyalty, and commitment. And God is her oath. And Elizabeth is hundreds of years down the line of the lineage of Aaron. And hundreds of years before this, David wrote a Psalm 118, and in verse 3 it says, "Let the house of Aaron now say, that his mercy endureth forever. Jehovah has remembered." And then Elizabeth, "God is my oath." We see all the years down the line that even David knew it when he penned, "Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever." This is all a picture of mercy, a picture of God's grace, where God has shown them mercy and given them a child. And so we see that the name of Elizabeth is "God is my oath." And so Elizabeth has made God her oath in her life. His mercy truly does endure. And read with me in verse number 56. It says, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John." And verse 61, "And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And so now we see that the people are wondering, her cousins and family are wondering what is going on. They came to circumcise the child and they're saying, let's name him Zacharias. You finally had a son. Let's keep the lineage going, the name going. Name him Zacharias. That what an honor for your son to have your name in that day. That was the typical thing, to give your child your name. And Elizabeth has said no. Because her and Zacharias have talked about this and what God's will is. And so I looked at the name John. So again, we've looked at Zacharias, Jehovah has remembered. We've looked at Elizabeth, God is my oath. And John, by Hebrew definition, is Jehovah is gracious. Jehovah is gracious. And so Elizabeth's cousins and her neighbors had heard of the mercy, but they did not understand the mercy. Again, notice in verse number 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." They heard of the mercy, but they did not understand the meaning of the mercy and how in depth it was and why they were naming their son John. Now, we see that the name John was the picture of God's mercy and grace. That John would be, understand that before Elizabeth and Zacharias, before John the Baptist was born, there was 400 years of drought. There was no prophets, there was no word of God from the Lord, there was no angels, there was nothing going on for 400 years in the Bible. There was a drought where they heard nothing from God, but they have been serving God faithfully. They have served God even in the barren times, and they've kept on going for God and serving the Lord and having what He has for them. But in this barren time, and now God is giving them a son who will be the very prophet, John the Baptist, who will pave the way. He will set the way for the Messiah, God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate picture of mercy, who is the ultimate picture of grace, who will come to this earth and He will die for our sins. And so notice that her cousins and her friends and her neighbors, they did not understand why his name was to be John and why they would not keep the name going and name him Zacharias. And they heard of the mercy, but they did not understand the mercy. But God had all of this working out for a reason. And His name, Jehovah is gracious, was going to set the way for the Jehovah. The Jehovah who is grace and who is mercy, who will be the remission for our sins. And so we see that God has set the stage and set everything up for a reason. Now, in concluding, what notice verse number 64. "And his mouth was open," talking about Zacharias now, or verse number 63 actually. They turn to Zacharias. They say his name should be Zacharias. Well, let's ask Zacharias. They're thinking, surely he's going to say, "I want him to have my name." Verse 63, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all." Verse 64, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. So now at the beginning of this chapter, when Zacharias had unbelief and Gabriel said, I'm still going to do this. God is still going to give you a son, but you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak, and you're going to be hindered in some form and fashion. But now, notice, remember, he said, they will be fulfilled in their season. And the season of this time has come to pass, and now their son John has been born, and now the last thing has been done. He obeyed God in the last thing and made his name John. Now, had he been selfish and said, God has made me have no speech, he's taken my speech from me, I'm just going to name him my name, I'm going to give him my name and see what happens, he could be bitter because of all the barren times and say, now God's showing up and all this. But instead, he believes in God, he trusts in God, and he has faith in what God is doing. And so God blesses him for that. And so the moment that he honors God and obeys God, notice that the first thing, verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. The very first things that rolled off of the tongue of Zacharias was praise to God. Ever the last time that Zacharias spoke, he was questioning God. And the next time that he was able to speak, he was praising God, because God showed mercy and God showed grace. And all of this has come together because, once again, Zacharias, that means Jehovah has remembered. And Elizabeth, God is my oath. And John, Jehovah is gracious. Jehovah has remembered. He has never once forgotten me. He's never had to remember me because he hasn't forgotten me. I'm a child of God, and we're sealed into the day of redemption. Once saved, forever saved. Born into the kingdom of God. And without blood, there is no remission of sins. And if you've been submerged in the blood of Christ, you are saved, sealed, and secured. And we're sealed into the day of redemption, as the Word of God says. And so again, Jehovah has remembered. And so walking with God, what do we have to do? We need to make God our oath. Elizabeth, her name, God is my oath. If we make this world our oath and we try to live with a foot in both doors and we want what God has for us and we try to live for God, but then we get in this world and it's hard and it's troublesome and we put a foot in the world and we say, well, I'll try it both ways, it'll never work. You will be running in place every single time. You've got to make God your oath. And again, an oath comes with trust and commitment and belief in God and what He can do in your life. And again, we came to John. And his name meaning Jehovah is gracious. Now this story sets the whole stage for Christ to come. And so we see the leftovers of the book of Luke and what's oftentimes skipped over and not read about. But God had a reason for it all. We look at it and think about how Zacharias and Elizabeth, all those years in their young age, and they're serving God. They live blameless for the Lord. And they're thinking, Lord, why can we have a child? And they're praying, God, give us a child. And they're still serving God anyway. They're not being bitter about it. They're still serving the Lord. But after all this time, why is it that God waited till they were old and stricken in age? And she'd been barren all this time, and now God opens her womb. Now, after all these prayers that have been prayed, why has it changed now? Well, now, it's because it's to set the stage for the Son of God. And God has put all of this in place. Every single stitch of your Bible, every scripture, all comes back to the cross. The whole reason for it all was for Christ to die for your and I's sins on Calvary. And it all comes back. And so we often wonder in times and barren times in our life, when it seems like we're in the desert and it seems like dry times are going on, and we're thinking, Lord, what is going on? And Lord, I know you're the author of everything and you have everything under control, but we oftentimes scratch your head and think, Lord, what is going on? But He has a reason for it all. And we don't understand it at the time, and we don't understand why we're having this barren time, and we're not having any spiritual fruit, and we're laboring, but nothing is happening, and nothing is going on. But I encourage you to stay faithful. Make God your oath, because Jehovah has remembered, and God is gracious. And He's gracious to you and I, and He's been gracious to all of us. Now think about how we've entered a new year. Every year when we get on the New Year's Eve, and I think about where I was this time last year. And I think about how so much has changed from last year and how God has done this and God has done that. I also know that there's been times, and even for my family, that there's a year where we lose loved ones and we lose people that we had in our whole lives, and we don't know what the next year is going to hold, because now we go into the next year without those family members and without those loved ones. But just like God had a plan for you last year, He's got a plan for you this year. And so I want to put our focus on the fact that God has a reason for everything. And so Jehovah has remembered, God is my oath, Jehovah is gracious. John the Baptist is well known in the Word of God for being unlike any other prophets, any other priests. He was not well polished. He did not have his finest suit of clothes on. He was wearing the calfskin and honey in his beard. And he was called a wild man and a crazy man, but he still stayed faithful. And he was the very one that introduced Christ to the world. And the whole reason for his name being John was Jehovah is gracious. And Jesus Christ is the definition. Gracious is the definition of John's name, but Jesus is the definition of grace. Grace is sufficient. God's grace has been sufficient for you and I. If we are even here this morning, I pray and I hope that I would assume that we're saved. You're saved this morning, but that might not be the case. I find it, and I've not been preaching very long, but I've been a pastor's son all my life, and 9 months before that. I've been a pastor's son, and I've traveled, and I've seen, and I've seen so many churches, and how we're full of all these people, and that's great, but we're full of religion with no redemption. We've had no supernatural act of God in our hearts, and we wonder why. I see churches all around this area, these mountains, they're closing their doors. And they're closing down, and why is that? And our churches are so full of the good old boy syndrome. We've got people, we'll give you the shirt off our back, we'll be nice to you as day is long, but we'll go to hell just like that if we die. We're eat up in the good old boy syndrome. Let me tell you, being a good old boy and a good old girl, it will not get you to heaven. You will not cross that bridge. It cannot get you across the great divide, but it's through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the picture of grace. Jesus is the picture of mercy. Not ourselves. There is no amount of pride that is worth going to hell for. I made a false profession when I was about 10 years old. And I made that false profession. I'm a pastor's son that I went on into church. I was singing. I was testifying. I was doing all these things in church. And really to everybody, I could think I had everybody fooled. And it wouldn't really be much of a difference, but there was nothing in my heart. On April 29th, 2017, God came by my way and He showed me. He said, "This is your last time, or you will live a life of religion with no redemption." And I made the choice there to give my life to Christ, and it's the greatest decision I have ever made. Listen, I understand for younger people of my age, it's not popular to live for God. It's not popular for anybody to live for God, young and old alike. There is no time in our life where, to the world, it is popular to do the things of God and, as Zacharias and Elizabeth, to live blameless. Many people, if they were in Elizabeth and Zacharias' their place, they would have given up on God. They would have said, "Lord, we haven't heard from you in 400 years, and from a prophet anyway, and Lord, how is this going to be?" But because of their faithfulness, they ended up being the ones to have a child that would be the next prophet, that would tell of the coming of Christ. So notice that it all happens for a reason. It all comes together for a reason. And I encourage you this morning to make God your oath and to keep pressing on and to keep going forward. And as we look at some of the leftovers of the book of Luke, and we see that all through this chapter, that the picture of it all is God's grace. And He's setting the stage for the Son of God to come. And just like today, we're living in a world that is really unnoticeable and unimaginable to the last generation and even to many of you. Now, my papa and many people tell me they don't even recognize the world from when they were a little boy. Amen. And how it's changed so much and how so much is going on, and our schools are so dangerous for people now. And so much is going on, and the homosexual community is taking over, and I'm not afraid to preach on that, friend. Homosexual community, and we have compassion for those. Let me say this, when you get a passion for God, you'll have a compassion for sinners. When you get passion for the things of God, you'll have compassion for sinners. And sinners are sinners, and the blood of Christ will save all, but we have got to stop letting this filth and garbage come into our homes and into our children and into our churches. It all goes downhill from the home. Revival begins in the heart, then in the home, then in the church, and then it can disperse and go out into the community. And we've got to make a stand and to believe in God, because we remember that God has a season and a reason for everything. And remember that this morning, that God has a reason for where you're at. You say, preacher, I am in the toughest and thickest battle that I've ever been in. Or preacher, this storm is really rough going through, and I don't understand why I'm going through it. Or I don't understand what is going on. I don't see light at the end of the tunnel, but keep going. Make God your oath. For years, again, they were stricken in age. And he's been serving as a priest. And notice, had Zacharias got caught on the fact that he had this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of offering incense, he would have missed God's lifetime opportunity for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Don't miss God's lifetime opportunity for your life for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Whether it be at a job or whether an occupation or whatever the case may be, or spiritually in your life, don't miss God's lifetime opportunity for you by getting out of the race and getting discouraged. Stay in the race, because God has remembered you, because He's never forgotten. He is there even when you don't see Him. When you see, it's an old adage, but when you see one set of footprints in the sand, it's because He's carrying you, not because He's not there. Remember that, and to keep going for God, and to remember that He has a reason for everything. Lord, thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank You for Your grace. God, thank You for remembering me. God, thank You. I think of all the prayers that have been prayed in my life and how many times You answer them in different ways, or sometimes You don't answer them because that's the way they need to be and You know best. And God, I thank You for that. Thank You for remembering me. God, thank You for being my oath. Lord, thank You for somebody being someone, the God that I can put my trust in and can make my oath. God, thank You for being gracious. Lord, not a single one of us would be sitting in this church here today. I would not be standing behind this pulpit this morning if not for the grace of God. And if not for You putting Your divine hand on Zacharias and Elizabeth to have their son John when they did. And the reason for it all, and how Zacharias praised You when You gave him his voice back. Lord, help me to praise You while I've got a voice. Lord, help us to have a voice for You. And God, help us this morning to do so. And God, I pray for the person in this church this morning that might be going through a battle and through a storm. God, I pray this earnestly and fervently in my heart, Lord, that You would help them. God, that You would undergird them, give them the strength that they need. God, I think about how when Aaron was a priest, but Lord, he was one of the ones holding up the arms of Moses. And Lord, he did not have too much pride to get under the man of God, but He held him up. God, help us to do that in our lives, to just do whatever You have for us. God, give us the strength that we need along the journey, and help us to keep pressing on. And God, we'll give You the praise and honor and glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to do this morning. If somebody could come to the piano, just give a moment this morning. I feel in my heart to do this. And I often think about how we think about prayer and praying for things and spiritually praying for a child in your life, just spiritually speaking, praying for this in your life or praying for that and seeking the hand of God. And I'll say this, praise complements prayer. And notice that Abraham and Sarah, when they were barren and they were well stricken in age and they could not have a child, notice, you'll see in the book of Romans that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. But he gave praise to God. Praised God in the process. It's not easy, but there is a process. Learn to praise God in the process, and He will bring you through it. And so I want to emphasize this morning, maybe you just want to come and thank God for bringing you through what He's brought you through. Or maybe you just want to thank God that He has put all these things together, all for the grace of God, so that you and I could be here this morning. The whole reason for it all, the reason for the season, is the blood of Christ. We think about the beautiful scene of Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem, and we think about it and we love the season, but the reason for it all was was for Calvary. And what a gruesome scene that it is, and there's no way to sugarcoat Calvary and what Christ did for us. But without blood, there is no remission of sins.